Remember, I'm sure we've all seen slow motion replays of things on TV. Maybe it's the Man United game, and Rooney has been brought down in the box. That's a blatant foul in this season. No referee seemed to be giving us many penalties, so let's say it's one of these situations. And Rooney's been blatantly brought down in the penalty box, and it's a stonewall penalty, but the referee hasn't seen it, hasn't given it. And so later on, as the analysts look through the action of the match, they do this kind of slow motion replay. They slow everything down. They do a close-up of what's happened. Rooney has clearly been brought down. Should have been a penalty, but we didn't get it. And that's the way the season has been. Or let's say you're watching a wildlife film, and there's this really fantastic shot the director wants you to kind of focus in on. And so what he does is he slows everything right down, he zooms in on the action, and he says, here it is, this is really important, whatever you do, don't miss this part. And Luke, who wrote this wonderful gospel, Dr. Luke, this medical doctor, this morning in Luke 4, 14 to 44, slows the action right down. Helps us focus in on pretty much one day of Jesus' life. The previous three chapters of Luke have looked at 30 years of Jesus' life. But these verses here in chapter 4 focus in on a few days and one day very particularly. Why does Luke do that? Luke says to us, as he does this kind of slow motion look at the action, as he zooms in his camera on this one day of Jesus' life, Luke wants us all to see this is really important. Don't miss this, says Luke. Now, what's so important that Luke has to, as it were, slow down his quill as he writes? What's so important that Luke has got to slow everything down here and say, Luke, this is so important? What's so important about this? Well, what's really important here is that Luke is focusing in here on Jesus' first miracles and Jesus' first preaching in Luke's gospel. And they both deal with this vitally important question. Is it okay to just like Jesus a bit? That's why this is so important. Because people back in Luke's day, a whole load of people back in Luke's day, they just like Jesus a bit. Just like a whole load of people in our day, but they just like Jesus a bit. I mean, Jesus has been preaching about his care for the poor. He's been going about healing diseases nobody else could do anything with. He's come to bring freedom to the trodden, he says, and a lot of people look at Jesus and they think, well, he's a pretty nice bloke. He's a nice guy. He's the kind of guy you'd be happy to bring around to your house for tea. And they just like Jesus a bit. And so Luke writes in his gospel to answer this vitally important question. Is it okay for me back in Luke's day or today, is it okay if I just like Jesus a bit? Is that enough? Is that all right with God? Let me encourage you as we answer this question, or as Luke answers the question, to turn up your Bibles to page 1031. It's Luke 4, 14 to 44. Is it okay to just like Jesus a bit? Well, it seems that it is for a lot of people, because the first thing here is that many people like Jesus a bit. I mean, this comes through right across this passage. Jesus has been teaching in the synagogues. His ministry begins in around Galilee, to the north of Palestine in verse 14. And then he travels to the south, to Judea, in verse 44. So basically, his message is spreading. His popularity is getting greater. And once again, in these early chapters in Luke's gospel, Luke emphasizes that the Holy Spirit, God's power, is behind Jesus as he works, as he speaks. He's kind of like doing a teaching, a preaching tour of the local synagogues. It's a wee bit like, say, going to First Drumara, going to Second Drumara, going to Ballykeel Baptist, going to St. John's, wherever. He's kind of going right round the area. Verses 14 and 15. And as he travels round the area, his message goes down well with the people who gather. Verse 14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. People were queuing up to pat him on the back. They liked Jesus a bit, and he seemed a nice bloke. And that comes across again, this liking Jesus a bit, this comes across again, whenever he explains to the people who listen, actually, I'm God's long-promised king. I'm the Messiah, the Old Testament said, would come along to bring God's message to everybody. Jesus brought this message, as he quoted from Isaiah 61, and people again thought he was a nice bloke. He'd come to the blind, the poor, the prisoners, the oppressed. Although Jesus is kind of thinking about deeper than physical needs and stuff here, he wants his hearers to understand that he can meet the deepest needs of anybody who will come to him. Look at verse 16 to 22. He, that's Jesus, went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day went into the synagogue, as was his custom. That's where the Bible was taught back then, the synagogue. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, I've come to do all this stuff. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. Lots of people like Jesus a bit. He's a local boy made good. "Isn't this Joseph's son who's teaching all these wonderful things?" they asked. Jesus seems a big hit. But Jesus' popularity with the crowds won't last very long. Jesus' popularity, in fact, will last as long as a snowstorm in the Sahara. Jesus' popularity will last as long as Man United's title challenge for the title this season, 5 minutes. Jesus' popularity with the crowds will last as long as a bar of Cadbury's chocolate in our house at the weekend. Not too long. And we'll see that in a minute or two. Lots of people here like Jesus a bit. And maybe that's you. Maybe you like Jesus a bit. Maybe quite a big bit, but you just kind of like him a bit. Is it okay to just like Jesus a bit without making a serious commitment to follow him? Is that enough? What do you think yourself? Well, Jesus doesn't keep us guessing. He answers this in a minute or two. Or maybe you have committed your life to Jesus, but you're so busy with a whole stack of other things, Jesus isn't too big of a priority for you. And that's not just the case this week, because we all can have busy weeks. But this is the pattern of your life as a Christian. Jesus doesn't really get much of a serious look, and not just this week or last week or next week, but anyway. Is that okay? Is it okay to just kind of squash Jesus in, not just this week, but every week, when you've got the time? Is that okay? Well, Jesus has an answer for all of us here, because here's the second thing. Jesus doesn't allow us to stay in our comfort zone. Jesus is just about to stretch these people who want to know, is it okay to just like him a bit? Jesus is just about to challenge them. In fact, Jesus is just about to offend them. And as a result of that, he will be as popular in Nazareth. His popularity in Nazareth will last as long as a snowstorm in the Sahara. In the eyes of Jesus' hearers, here's the local boy made good. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they ask. Maybe they think that, well, he's a kind of local fella. He likes us. He knows us. He could bring some kind of benefit to us. Jesus listens to them, and he kind of tests. He tests how deep their devotion to him really is. Verses 23 and 24, Jesus said to them, "Surely you'll quote this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself.' And you'll tell me, 'Do here in your hometown what we've heard you did in Capernaum.' Truly I tell you," he continued, "no prophet is accepted in his hometown." And Jesus goes on to talk about some Old Testament prophets, Elijah and Elisha. We looked at them here in 2 Tamara last year. Guys who came along, who were following God from few people did. Remember, we saw that about them. But the thing was this. as Elijah and Elisha, the prophets from the Old Testament, talked about God and taught about God, a whole stack of people in Judah back then, amongst God's people, they rejected them and they rejected their message in Israel. And so what did God do? Well, God took the blessing that should have been for his Israelite people and he brought it instead to outsiders, to people from pagan backgrounds. God took his blessing away from the Israelites who just liked him a bit. And God brought his blessing instead to people from pagan backgrounds who responded by genuinely loving God. And whenever the Jews hear this, whenever the Jews hear that just liking God a wee bit leads to God actually rejecting them, they reveal their true colours. Whenever the people hear that just liking God a bit leads to God rejecting us, they reject Jesus outright. In fact, they try to kill him. Look at verses 28 to 30. It's so striking, this. I mean, what a change. One minute liking Jesus a wee bit, and then next minute wanting to kill him. I mean, this is really stark, isn't it? Verse 28. All the people in the synagogue, remember, these are the people who liked Jesus a bit, okay? They just said how wonderful Jesus was. All these people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove Jesus out of the town, and brought him to the brow of the hill on which the town was built in order to throw him off the cliff. But Jesus walked through the crowd and went on his way. They were going to throw Jesus off a cliff. Why? Because Jesus has just told them, liking me a bit isn't enough. But when they see that, when they see that just liking Jesus a bit leads to Jesus rejecting us, they don't like it. You know, we may not like it either. We today may not like Jesus saying to us, just liking me a bit won't do. But folks, whether we like it or whether we don't, we must face the facts of what Jesus says to us here. I mean, cast your mind back to Remembrance Sunday. I was reading this just a wee while back ago. True story, a wee fella, he's aged 4. And here he is here. And this wee boy is called Ashton. And there he is on Remembrance Day morning past. And he's at the War Memorial in Colchester in Essex. And little Ashton never met his dad. His dad was killed in Afghanistan back in 2010, when Ashton's just 5 months old. But there he is at the War Memorial in Colchester in Essex. And what did he say about his dad? Well, here's what he said. He says, I am very proud of my daddy. He's my hero. Ashton didn't say, I like my daddy a wee bit. Never met him. He didn't just say, I like my daddy a big bit. He said, I am very proud of my daddy. He says, he's my hero. How appropriate. And folks, we said to the boys and girls earlier on, if mummy and daddy would be really upset if you went home today and said to me, I just like you a wee bit. How do you think Jesus feels today if you just like him a wee bit? How does he feel about that? Honestly. Jesus makes it clear that if we just like him a wee bit and never make a serious commitment to us, he will reject us. If we reject him, he will reject us. That's the way it works in the economy of the Bible, and it's a just thing. You see, Jesus needs to be our number one. Little Ashton said, my daddy is my hero. Jesus is the greatest hero ever. Ashton's daddy laid down his life protecting aid workers in Afghanistan. And Jesus Christ, God's son, laid down his life on the cross for you. He did it for you. He needs to be our number one. I wonder, do you need to change your attitude to Jesus as somebody who's already following him? Because the truth is, maybe It's not just this week or last week you squash Jesus in and give Jesus the leftovers of your time. This is your weekly routine all the time. If you're following Jesus today, do you need to change your attitude to him as a Christian? Jesus needs to be our number one. I'm sure there's a message for all of us in church this morning, whether we're saved or unsaved. I'm sure Jesus is tapping all of our shoulders, mine included, this morning, and saying, giving him the leftovers of our life really isn't all. I speak to my mum and dad every Sunday night on the phone. And if I was to talk to my dad tonight and say, Daddy, you know, I don't really love you. In fact, I just like you a wee bit. He would be devastated. Friends, Jesus is devastated today if you just like him a wee bit. Devastated by it. If that's you today and Jesus is speaking to you today, please sort it out, will you? Say, Jesus, I want to give you my heart, my life, my love, not just the leftovers. If you're a Christian and you're living carelessly and you've given your life to Jesus, you're happy to be saved, you're happy to avoid hell, but you're just giving him the leftovers, please see that's no good. Will you? He doesn't just want a wee bit. He wants our hearts. Well, how do we wind all this up? Well, we wind it up, we finish off in this way, and here's the third thing. Life is all about being part of God's kingdom and spreading this message right across the world. You see, when we get that liking Jesus a wee bit really isn't all, when we get this, Jesus says to us, actually, this is a message that's far bigger than Second Tomorrow. Far bigger than Northern Ireland. This is a message for the whole world. You see, it'd been really easy for Jesus to just stay where he was in Capernaum healing people. He weren't well. But Jesus sticks to his priority. Jesus' priority is to get this good news out. That God invites anyone and everyone to make Jesus our king, and as a result of that, to become part of God's kingdom forever. Jesus wants everybody to hear about this message. Look at verses 42 to 44. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Jesus says, I have a wonderful message. It's the message of God's kingdom. The kingdom of God, he says, I must proclaim the kingdom of God to the other towns also. I must tell people that I've come as God's king. I rule over the whole world. And as God's king, I'm going to die on the cross for people's sins. And then I'm going to conquer death by rising again from the dead. And Jesus says, this message, it's not just for you, says Jesus. I've got to go to other places and tell them also about this wonderful kingdom of God. And later on, just before he goes into heaven, remember what Jesus said to his disciples? He said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Go to the ends of the earth, says Jesus, with this message about my kingdom, about the fact that I've come as God's king to rescue you from your sins. Folks, this is what life is all about. Life is all about being part of God's kingdom ourselves with Jesus as our king, loving him and living for him, and then spreading this message right across the world. Have you got what life is all about? Because this is what it's all about. Life is not all about getting brilliant grades at school, although work hard at school. It's not all about getting good grades at college, but work hard at college, do your best. Life is not all about getting a fantastic job. But get the best job you can. Life is not all about making loads of money. But I hope everybody in Second Tomorrow does well. Folks, life is all about this. Life is all about being part of Jesus' kingdom with him as our king. And then getting this message out to everybody who will listen right across the world. This is what it's all about, says Jesus. I mean, how big are your plans? Let me tell you about Eileen Smith Jones. Eileen Smith Jones donates a kidney to her 7-year-old granddaughter, Eva. Little Eva Downing has been diagnosed with a rare kidney condition and a rare liver condition. She's on frequent dialysis, and the result of that is that there's a really big likelihood if she gets a kidney transplant, she will reject the donor kidney. But thankfully for Eva, her granny is a perfect match. And so Eileen donates her kidney for little Eva. Here's what Granny Eileen says. She says, "I can survive quite nicely with one kidney, and the difference in Eva is incredible." Fantastic, isn't it? Big goal to save a wee girl's life. And folks, right throughout this passage, as we get this kind of slow motion close up view of Jesus in Luke's gospel, he asks us this most important of questions: is it okay to just like Jesus a wee bit? And Luke says no. Because Jesus says no. Jesus wants all of us to have an even bigger goal than Eileen Smith Jones donating a kidney to save her little granddaughter's life. Jesus wants all of us to have a goal that spans the length of eternity. And that is the width and depth and height of this universe in which we live in. Jesus wants us all to get that life is all about being part of God's kingdom, which you enter when you make Jesus your king. Have you started off? Have you made Jesus your king? Have you got any of God's plans? When you have, when Jesus is your king and your savior, when you come to see that life is all about being part of God's kingdom, then you realize God has a message for the whole world. And you see, when you get that, you realize this, life is about far more than my tiny wee plans. I mean, what people think about me doesn't really matter too much. Because my identity is in Jesus. And I want to be a part of what Jesus is doing in Drumara, in County Down, in Northern Ireland, in the island of Ireland, in the United Kingdom, in Europe, right across the world. I want to be part of that. Because life is all about realizing this message of God's kingdom isn't just for us. It's not just for inside these four walls. Life is all about getting this message out to everybody who will listen. That's what Second Drumara needs to be about. That big vision, getting the gospel out to everybody who listen. And so I hope that all of this shows you it's absolutely not okay to just like Jesus a wee bit. To just like Jesus a wee bit is like me ringing home tonight and saying, "Daddy, I just like you a wee bit." Daddy wouldn't like it. Folks, Jesus likes it less. So if that's you, sort it out with Jesus. Give your heart to him. If you're a Christian who's already given your heart to Jesus, get things sorted out with him. If Jesus is just an afterthought in your daily life and it's like that every week. And please be part of this massive, awesome, eternity-reaching goal of serving King Jesus, the King of Kings, every day. And then part of what King Jesus is doing now and forever. Folks, this is what life is all about. If you get that, you've got what life's all about. If you haven't got it, Luke says get it today. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that life is about so much more than often we realize. It's not just about me, not just about my family, not just about our congregation, our community, not just about this country that we love, but Father, it's about the whole world. It's about Jesus as King of his kingdom. It's about getting this message across to everybody who will listen. Father, help us to be part of that, Lord. Help us to want to not just like Jesus a wee bit, but help us, Lord, to want to love him with all our hearts, all our souls, all our minds, and all our strength. For he has loved us in an amazing way by giving his life for us on the cross. Help us, Lord, to love him back and be part, Lord, of what he is doing in this church family of ours and in this district. And Father, God, right across the world. How exciting it is. In Jesus' name. Amen.